Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having an absolutely terrific day. Thank you again for your support of Health Masters. I want to let everybody know we have a product, a very popular product, the Vive Eye Rescue Cream, which we're doing a big sale on right now for the summer. It's been a pretty popular product. A lot of people like the facial cream as well. However, that product's actually out of stock right now for about another 4 to 6 weeks. So we went ahead and put the Eye Rescue Serum on sale to make sure everybody has the ability to give it a try. It's one of Sharon's key products that she loves. It's on sale for over 20% off right now. Just wanted to let you guys know that while supplies last. So other than that, in other news, Dad, how are you doing today?
Austin, I'm doing very, very, very well. In fact, it's kind of interesting because, you know, Iran has now shot down supposedly another drone that was over its sovereign territory, Iran claims, another U.S. drone that was spying on Iran. And now our State Department and our government's in uproar. They're beating the war drum saying we're about to start a war with Iran because we were spying on them and they shot down a drone over their territory. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, if Iran started flying drones over Washington, D.C., and they shot it down, everybody would go, go Washington, D.C., go Washington, D.C., bad Iran, bad Iran. And, you know, it doesn't make any sense. So we have to ask ourselves, why is this happening? So let me go back and give you a little bit of base on this. General Wesley Clark, he was born December 23rd, 1944. He's a retired general of the United States Army. He graduated as valedictorian, listen to that, number one in his class in 1966 at West Point, and was awarded a Rhodes Scholarship to the University of Oxford, which I don't care for that, where he obtained a degree in philosophy, politics, and economics. He later graduated from the Command and General Staff College with a master's degree in military science. He spent 34 years in the U.S. Army, receiving many military decorations, including several honorary knighthoods and the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Clark commanded Operation Allied Force in the Kosovo War during his term as Supreme Allied Commander of Europe, of NATO, from 1997 to 2000. So this is a big deal guy. He really is credible. And he made a speech a few years ago, Austin. I'm going to have Todd play that right now. Todd, go ahead and cue it up and go ahead and play that speech right now. This is General Wesley Clark.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who had used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, "No, no." He says, "We've made the decision we're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq? Why?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I guess they don't know what else to do." So I said, "Well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to Al-Qaeda?" He said, "No, no." He says, "There's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq." He said, "I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments." And he said, "I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail." So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office, today. And he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran." The truth is about the Middle East is, had there been no oil there, it would be like Africa. Nobody is threatening to intervene in Africa. The problem is the opposite. We keep asking for people to intervene and stop it. And there's no question that the presence of petroleum throughout the region has sparked great power involvement. Whether that was the specific motivation for the coup or not, I can't tell you. But there was definitely, there's always been this attitude that somehow we could intervene and use force in the region.
And this is what I wanted to share with you, because I've mentioned this General Wesley Clark's speech several times on the show, Austin, but I want to go ahead and play that so you guys would actually hear what he had to say and how he said we're going to be starting all these wars. And the message to America basically is Iran shoots down a U.S. spy drone, and they're saying now, you know, they're ready for war. They don't want war, but they're ready for war. So here we are in the Middle East continuing with this overthrow of these seven countries and the destruction of the Middle East. Austin, why do you think this is happening, buddy?
Well, I mean, you have to look at it. I mean, what he just said was so pertinent. And if I'm not mistaken, that video was, you know, it was back after 9/11. You know, it was 17, 18 years ago. And so the paperwork that he's referring to, you know, showed a faster pace on a lot of those countries as far as attacking them. However, what you look at, though, now is on that list that he described, we've taken over all of those countries except for Iran. When he did that news article, that interview, again, what he was talking about, we had just started with Iraq, and we've taken all of them now, except for Iran. The aspect with Iran is that there's a huge speculation from Dave Hodges and a lot of individuals, and I think they are right, though, is that Iran has put numerous amounts of cells in the United States. We've seen that, and you got to think about this. You got Syria over there. You got Libya over there. We've seen the massive influx of migrants coming into the United States from those countries. That's not speculation. That's facts. We know that. You can go up to Minnesota. You can go up to Michigan. You can see the areas. I mean, the Minnesota Mall up there. 99% of the mall at any given time is usually full Muslims. Everybody. Full Muslims up there. Now, we know that the Islamic ideology of what they stand for is taking over everything. Wiping out Christianity, there's no question about that. They blatantly promote pedophilia in the Quran. It's not any abnormal behavior. They blatantly promote raping of anybody that's an infidel or is not a Muslim. So a lot of the ideology we see with the hardcore Muslims in that country go with the globalist ideology, if that makes any sense. They go line in line. So we see the influx of all these people getting imported in the United States pretty much with no vetting. We've continually taken over all these countries in the Middle East. Iran is the only country left in the Middle East that does not have a central reserve bank, remember that. And now we've been looking for years. I mean, if you guys go back, I mean, even back with Obama, there was always all this provocation with Iran, the whole thing with the nuclear deal, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the aspect of it is they know that in order to get a one world currency in line, they have to control the entire world's banking system. That's a fact. You can't leave a country the size of Iran that has, I think, 82, 85 million people in that population of that country and leave them to do whatever they want with as much armaments as they have, with as much gold as they have, and allow a new world order, world currency to exist. It will never happen. Alongside Russia is their ally, and Russia's very much against the New World Order, at least that's my perception from what we have seen with Putin and what he has said in numerous interviews. So we see every single incident we can bring up to make Iran the bad guy, to make the United States look like we have to attack them. And we were just talking right before the show. I mean, imagine if we started having Iran drones flying around the United States, as Dad said, doing full-blown surveillance of the U.S. The United States not only would flip out, the U.S. military would be scrambling fighter jets to be dropping out of the sky like hot potatoes left and right. And everybody would go, oh, I cannot believe Iran has drones over here. Flip it over. We're running all these Reaper drones, all these Predator drones, most of them, to my knowledge, from the research that I've heard from some of my intel that's in the United States military, majority of the drones that are flying over Iran are armed. They're not just surveillance drones. They are carrying munitions payload. I mean, at any point in time, if the United States wants to do a surgical airstrike from a drone, they can do so. And so Iran says, that's unacceptable. We're not going to allow drones from another country to be flying over us with a payload. We're dropping them out of the sky. Now, whether or not the one they shot down was armed, I have no idea yet. But again, this is something that we know is going to occur at some point in time. We've been talking about it for years. It may not happen for another couple years. They may be working up to this, but in my opinion, it's going to happen sooner or later. The next thing we have to look at is that if that occurs, as I said yesterday, the United States is going to be incredibly vulnerable because we're going to send a massive bulk of the U.S. military. We're already spread out to the entire world with hundreds, I think it's over 300 military bases throughout the entire world now. If Iran goes to a full-scale war, we're going to do an airstrike on them all over the country. The thing is, Iran already knows that, which means they've set up preparations not only for surface-to-air missiles to basically intercept a lot of these airstrikes. They're going to have a lot of their munitions, a lot of their nuclear material, a lot of their manpower underground already. So it's going to go to a full-scale ground war. There's no question about that, which means we're going to do another invasion again, which means we're going to send a huge plethora of troops into Iran, which is, again, going to pull a lot of our reserve troops out of the United States, and it's going to leave us more vulnerable. Now we see that the United States at the same time is being massively infiltrated. We talked about the individuals from the Congo that are coming in. I just saw a video that just got released today at the southern Mexico border down by Guatemala. And the Mexico National, they're basically national armament, their National Guard, I guess you could call them, in Mexico, and their federal police have stopped multiple groups, I mean dozens, 40, 50, 60 Congo migrants that are trying to get in from Guatemala into Mexico so they can push forward to the United States. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist when it comes to math. I'm pretty good with numbers. But last time I checked, the Congo is like 8,000 nautical miles from Mexico. How in the world are we seeing hundreds, if not thousands now, which is what it appears, thousands of individuals from the Congo showing up in Mexico out of the blue, out of nowhere? Now, obviously, you can jump on container ships, you can try to hitch rides, but these individuals don't seem like they're sparsely being dropped in, you know, one or two here, one or two here. We're seeing hundreds of them in groups. How are they affording to take these plane rides or these boat rides all the way from Africa, 8,000 nautical miles, and get into Mexico? There's something else going on behind the scenes, and then we see the fact that GlaxoSmithKline has unregulated vaccines being tested in Congo for Ebola that we have no idea. There's already been talk, as far as if you look at the research on it, that Ebola can be dormant from anywhere from 14 to 21 days from symptoms, meaning you can contract Ebola and you don't even know you have Ebola for 2 to 3 weeks. If they weaponize Ebola and make it an even longer controlled release vaccine that they're supposedly injecting them with a virus, because they're genetically engineering all this stuff, we could see even longer. You could probably have up to 4, 5, 6 weeks of this virus being dormant in individuals, shipping them in planes all the way to Mexico, allowing them to come up through the Mexican border within a couple weeks, and then out of nowhere, we have this massive Ebola epidemic that we don't even know how the heck it started, because these individuals are now showing symptoms all across the United States. Remember, I told you guys yesterday, they're bringing in the individuals that are coming in, these Congo migrants that are coming into the United States illegally. They're not keeping them at the border. They're not quarantining them. They're not keeping them in quarantine for 4 to 6 weeks. They are literally within 2 to 3 days transferring them to San Antonio, Texas, San Francisco, California. We already had reports now from the one doctor out there that has said there's a high probability the plague is going to make a resurgence in California now. So you tie all these things up together, all this rhetoric with Iran, all this powder keg that's occurring in the United States. I mean, we're actually, during all this right now that's going on, we have the hardcore communists that are in Congress right now that are demanding that we sign a bill, that they pass a bill and vote yes on it to start reparations for slavery 160 years ago. This is starting a whole bunch of smoke and mirror cannon fodder on mainstream media. This is what they're talking about. I pull up some mainstream media today talking about slave reparations. First off, there's not a single person alive today that either owned a slave or was a slave. If you even had any ancestry that went back that far, they are long dead. I'm not saying slavery wasn't an absolutely horrific thing in the United States, because it was, but turning around now in the middle of a possible world war, in the middle of having a full-blown migrant invasion from Africa and Mexico and Guatemala and all these other countries, in the middle of that, The only thing Congress is concerned about right now is passing a bill to start slave reparations in the United States, which in turn is realistically, aka, to further the social welfare system, to push their socialist agenda to bring us into communism. So you have to look at everything that's going on right now, but there's a lot of big, just smoke and mirror news right now. And then at the same time, we have the big presidential circus clown show again. I talked to you guys about that 2-3 years ago, how the average election time back when JFK was going on was like 3 to 5 months. That's how long they campaigned to get reelected or to start an election. It was like the same year. It would start in like February or March before the election in November. Now the average election cycle, the last one with Trump and Hillary, I think was like 1 year and 6 or 7 months. That's how long it is. So we see this cycle now where it's continually being brought up so they can keep something in the media. This is what's going on. So again, what I tell everybody every single day on the show, and I'm going to keep doing it regardless if you guys get tired of hearing it, we have to start becoming self-sufficient in the United States. Everybody really needs to buckle in and start making good, clear-cut, preparatory decisions for you and your family, because if it goes this route, it is going to be called on by every single United States American that believes in the Constitution to defend our country. We've become so complacent as a country now, and we love our nice stuff. We like it. We flip the light on, the electricity, the light turns on, it's nice. We flip the remote on, the TV comes on. You know, we open the fridge, we got cold food. We turn the stove on, we got hot food. We're so used to that now. And so we have to get back and understand that we had a massive, massive revolutionary war in this United States on a completely different note of what's going on now. But in reality, it really comes back down to the bankers wanting to control everything. And one story that I wanted to tie this in, Dad, and I'll let you put on your thoughts on this. I saw this on Tuesday. You guys know I have been a huge, huge, huge anti-Bitcoin individual. I said from the beginning it's a complete and total scam, which it was to an extent. It ran up to $20,000 and they dropped it all the way down to $3,000 a coin, stripped out tens of billions of dollars from the United States population. Then we find out later on the individuals that used to work or were CIA plants or were CIA individuals had been involved in Bitcoin's conception. Now, Facebook, on Tuesday, the giant CIA operation Facebook unveiled a plan to create an alternative financial system that relies on cryptocurrency that the company has secretly been working on for years. The cryptocurrency called the Libra, which I found an interesting word, I'll go over that in a minute, will also have to overcome concern that Facebook does not effectively protect the private information of users. First off, Facebook's a complete and total sham. In my opinion, 9 out of 10 of the hacks that happens to Facebook are not accidental. They leak this stuff out intentionally because they sell it and make billions of dollars off of it to third-party advertisers. I'll just leave that out there. Facebook hopes to begin next year with over 100 partners, the most far-reaching attempt by any mainstream company in existence to jump into the world of cryptocurrencies. The company, listen to this. This is really important right here. This article is from the New York Times, by the way, so I'm not pulling, you know, one side or the other. This is a pretty neutral New York Times article on this topic right now because it's so new. The company has sky-high hopes that Libra will become the foundation for a new financial system not controlled by central banks. Oh, wow, that sounds fantastic. That's a great idea, right? Wait till you hear the rest of it. Mr. Marcus, who is the president of PayPal, which you guys already know how PayPal is, joined Facebook last year, and Mr. Zuckerberg has tapped someone who has already had experience managing an alternative payment system. So you take the owner of PayPal, coupling with Zuckerberg, who's the CIA handler for Facebook, the largest facial recognition social media platform in the world, spy tool, the best it's ever been, and you're coupling these guys together to build the Libra digital token will be directly backed by government currencies like the dollar and euro. So wait a minute, they're building a cryptocurrency that isn't going to be controlled by central banks, which they just said a paragraph before, but the Libra is going to be controlled and backed by government currencies like the dollar and the euro that are controlled by the reserve banks, meaning they're going to be controlled by the reserve banks. To acquire Libra, get this, to acquire Libra through new Facebook subsidiary called Calibra, users are going to have to show government identification like a driver's license. Here we go. And remember we had the entire national ID system that's been put in place over the last 10 years now where you're going to have these chips? You're going to have to register your chip driver's license to set up an account to acquire Libra. The project is to be run by an entity in Switzerland, the Libra Association, which is allegedly an independent of the social media network. The association will be overseen by over 100 companies, including PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, and the list goes down the line, and they will all have voting power over the design, release, and handling of the Libra. That goes on to say when the Libra catches on, Facebook will offer financial services to customers such as lending and investing. To spur adoption, the Libra Association, based out of Switzerland, will manage the digital token. It will help offer financial incentives to merchants and customers, like free Libra for opening a wallet or large discounts on Libra transactions for merchants who accept the currency. So in a nutshell, Facebook is building a cryptocurrency that is going to be controlled by an entity in Switzerland that is basing it off the euro and the dollar, that is controlled by 100 different New World Order companies, including PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, to oversee the control of Libra, but it's supposed to be an independent cryptocurrency, and they're planning on trying to use this worldwide, and then they're going to incentivize it by making sure they get as many merchants as they can on board by giving them discounts and kickbacks to get Libra accounts, essentially virtual terminals, on your website so you can make Libra worldwide transactions at any point in time. This is, in my opinion, the New World Order currency. It may change names again. I highly doubt it's going to change hands again. This has been in the making for years. Bitcoin, as I told you guys multiple times, was a full-blown psyop. They did it to test the market, to see how many people were going to get involved with Bitcoin, to see how much money they could extract from Bitcoin, and to see how receptive the population would be of Bitcoin, and it was a huge success. Even with it losing all the money, people had so much faith in Bitcoin that they were taking mortgages out and cash advances on their credit cards just to buy Bitcoin. So now you have all these people that lost this money in Bitcoin. Now they're going to go, oh, Libra's going to be controlled by Facebook. Libra's going to be brought in. They're going to be controlled by a Switzerland company. Oh, this is going to be great. They're going to be completely and totally controlled now, which again takes the entire concept of the only benefit of cryptocurrencies was the blockchain technology, which allowed it to be incredibly difficult to track, and gets rid of that and runs it through the most invasive spy social media agency in the world, Facebook, and allows all of your transactions to be not only monitored, controlled, and tracked. Once Libra takes hold in the merchant terminals and people start using it because of the lower fees, the ease of transaction, which they're already telling us here, they'll slowly start switching all the payment methods and phasing out everything from credit cards to PayPal to all that stuff, and it'll all fall into a virtual terminal of Libra. And at that point, anything you do, say, or look at that they don't agree with will be just like the social credit score, and they will seize or stop your Libra account immediately. Say they won't do it. PayPal has done it on numerous occasions that I have personally witnessed from multiple vendors, with them blocking your account, seizing the money for months on end, for nominal incidences, not fraud, not issues, not back charges, stupid incidences, including you selling products that they don't agree with, like firearm parts, and blocking your account $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 goes in limbo for months on end until PayPal decides you can have your money back. And we have the owner of PayPal that stepped down, now working with Zuckerberg, heading Libra. So you tell me and do the math and put the puzzles together what we're about to see in the financial market over the next couple of years once this thing is released in 2020, Dad.
Well, the reality, Austin, this is all Rothschild. This is all the same people,
yep,
always the same people. It's the Bank of International Settlements out of Switzerland. All of this stuff is the same. It never, ever ends. And this was, and you and I called it out on the show years ago. We said that the whole thing was a giant psychop, a giant beta test with Bitcoin. They were trying to get the bugs ironed out of it. And finally, after they had run it up, they collapsed it and extracted billions and billions and billions, and probably hundreds of billions of dollars out of it to continue to fund the CIA operations. Guys, this is what they're going to do. Now, here's the reason they're doing this. They're going to a cashless society, just like the Bible says, in which they, well, you won't be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast, which could be Libra, or some type of genetic mutation, or a chip in your arm or your head or your forehead, or who knows what they're going to do. The reality is this. They know they can't continue to inflate the world's currency and not have inflation, because they have, there's a tracker, there's an amount of currency in circulation that they can't and won't talk about. They won't even tell you where the money went from the bad bailout from years ago. So the Libra will stop that. It'll all be encrypted currency. Only the central bank will know what the M1 money supplies are with Libra, and they'll be able to have this new world order currency, and it'll be exactly what Austin says. It'll be another tool for enslavement. Because remember, the Bank of International Settlements is in Switzerland. It's the central bank of central banks. And how do we know the Libra office is not right next to or connected to the Bank of International Settlements? This is the Rothschilds' way of enslaving the planet continually. And this is what Austin said earlier, and he's absolutely right. They don't want Iran or Korea out there, or Venezuela out there, having independent central banks. They want to have the complete control of the planet. This, again, is satanic. All of it is. While Trump fiddles and basically pretends like the world is all happy, he basically did not mention one thing about the gay agenda that he's been promoting so heavily at his conference in Orlando. He completely ignored it. In fact, Brad Parton was there. He was kind of like our reporter in the field. He's one of the smartest people I've ever met. And he wrote me a letter giving me a summary of what happened in Orlando. And it says, Ted and Austin, I wanted to give you a first-hand accounting of the largest MAGA rally yet held in Orlando on the 18th. I've never been to an event with thousands of the most hospitable people in the entire world. My friend Jason and I arrived at 11. We were lucky to get in by 4. I watched in awe as 22,000 sweaty patriots rose to their feet to hear Paul White pray. When the president introduced the first lady, it was deafening. I thought to myself that no one in history has been able to cast a charismatic spell. Now listen to what Brad said. Listen to what he said. This is almost prophetic. I thought to myself that no one in history has been able to cast a charismatic spell over thousands like Trump, maybe since Adolf Hitler himself. I make this comparison only due to the popularity of the men and in no way comparing their ideals, only their charisma. Trump introduced several dignitaries like Governor DeSantis to the roar of the crowd, but when he introduced little Marco Rubio, there was a cascade of boos. I thought at least this crowd is informed that he's going after our guns. Overall, the energy from the rally was great. Trump went over his accomplishments, which I'd forgotten he had done. The loudest and most passionate cheer of the rally was "Build That Wall," the cornerstone promise of the 2016 campaign. Trump would comment, "We are building it," lie, and that the crowd seemed to want results, not more promises. There was an uneasiness about the wall. What about the state of emergency? What about the funds diverted from the Pentagon budget for the wall? My mind wandered if Trump's tactic is to propose to stall till 2020. I hope not. I felt great energy at the rally, and it's a very easy to let yourself drift into a non-reality Q-based fantasy world where Hillary and Obama are locked up and we will secure the southern border. But for now, that seems to be a fantasy that my Christ-based discernment cannot allow me to indulge in. Let's pray that President Trump can somehow again regain the strength and vision he had before the Cavalists showed him the real chessboard and the leverage they have. It seems that many patriots are in love with the idea of Trump as the champion, are either afraid to confront the realities that he has fallen short in delivering the most important promise of to secure the southern border. Trump has, in my estimation, become a cartoon character a caricature hero that patriots can lose themselves in while forgetting the real challenges we still face. That's excellent. All in all, it was a great experience, and I would recommend for any patriot to go to Trump rally at least once. Thank you, Ted and Sharon, or Ted and Austin, for keeping us informed of the truth and not just regurgitating the mainstream narrative to us. Your friend for over 20 years in Christ, Brad Parton. Guys, this is so important that we understand what Brad's talking about. The charisma from Trump, the building of Trump up for 15 years on his own reality TV show, the having Donald Trump in the news for the past 50 years since he was a young man, all of this was done on purpose to ingrain him, ingrain him, ingrain him, ingrain him. Robert David Steele says he feels that Ivanka Trump with Jared Kushner, that Jared Kushner was like a plant that was put there in front of Ivanka Trump to get married to be able to control Trump. Whether that's true or not, I have no idea. All I know is this, is that we have a group of people, the patriots in the United States of America, that deserve better than this. But because they're so basically beaten down because of what's happened with Bush and also now with Obama and now also with Trump, they don't want to look at the reality of the situation. Trump is fiddling while Rome burns. That's all he's doing. We have a massive invasion on our southern border with millions coming across from who knows what countries with what armaments, and he completely ignores the situation, has not built one meter of new wall. Now, he's put up a little bit of border fence, and he's replaced some border fencing. But overall, for the billions of dollars that he's acquired in his money, for his emergency decree, nothing's being done. Again, the New World Order does not want a border wall. They gave one to Israel because Israel didn't want the Palestinians coming in. It's been very, very effective. But they don't want the United States to have one. Why? Because we are destined for the ash heap of history. They're going to break us up into probably 10 FEMA districts and break us up into multiple segments and not have the United States of America anymore. Once they get done extracting the wealth out of us and using our military for their own world dominion. This is what's going on right now in the world, but we continue to pray that Donald Trump will have a vision and he will come back and he will stop this if he's capable of it. Remember, I told all of you, all my friends, I said, when we had Donald Trump come into office, I said, we will find out if he is in control, if he does what he says he's going to do, if the chemtrails stop. The chemtrails haven't stopped, guys. The same boys who took down Building 7, same boys who do the chemtrails, same boys who are pushing the vaccines, same guys that are pushing the international money cartels. I had a friend of mine yesterday. He sent me a text, and he was asking me about Iran. And he basically said, you know, well, what do you think about Iran? Should we be concerned? And I said, no. I said, we just need to leave Iran alone. And I said, that's what we need to do, just leave Iran alone. And he goes, well, aren't you concerned about them getting nuclear weapons and all that other stuff? And I said, no. I said, not at all. I said, the reality is, I said, you know, this is all about what General Wesley Clark said. This is all about what's happening with him. And we need to understand that if we don't take a look and back off what they're doing as far as what the government is doing, we're going to find ourselves in a giant war here with these guys. Again, another war, another banker-induced war. And then all of a sudden he starts it on the Zionists. He goes, well, it's everything to use about the Zionists. Been a Zionist. And finally I said, stop. You know, first of all, I'm thinking to myself, why in the world is he even contacting me? And now he wants to basically berate me and say it's all about Zionism. Let me tell you something, guys. Zionism is a tiny piece in the 6,000-8,000-year-old puzzle. It's being used to rebuild the temple to bring in the Antichrist, right? Once they get done using Israel or whatever they're doing over there, they could just as soon get rid of Israel. They allowed those concentration camps to be built. In fact, many of our Western organizations helped build the concentration camps in Germany. They don't care about the Jews. They don't care about the Christians. They don't care about the Muslims or anybody. They use all of these guys as chess pieces in the puzzle to continue their Canaanite religions of Baal worship, Moloch worship, and Asherah worship, to continue to feed these interdimensional demons the blood of the young, the souls of the young, these innocent of the young. That's what this is. This is an interdimensional war that we're in. That's what the Bible says. This battle is not against flesh and blood. And we need to see that. And we need to understand that all of these players are just pawns in the game for this international global group that's basically being controlled by demons, if you want to call them that, or extraterrestrials, if you want to call them that. Pick your choice. Call it whatever you want to call it. There's entities out there in the other dimensions that are controlling the affairs of this planet. And this is what we all have to see and understand. And if we don't, Austin, we'll continue to believe the lies of the mainstream media and continue to allow ourselves to be sucked into the to this nonsense that they do, making us think that everything's about what they do and everything's about the central banks and everything's about this and that. This is about global enslavement and the harvesting of humanity, Austin. What do you think?
That's exactly what it is. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, and it's you know, because it's such a strange topic, because I've been a big Trump fan even before he was ever president. I thought he had a lot of cool stuff that he did. And, you know, he's done some things that we think right. And again, as I told you guys yesterday, not discounting the fact of what he wants to do and what he's trying to do, I think there's a lot of things, and I truly think he really does and did want the best for the United States. I just think they know, and this is how it always is with the bankers, you control the money, you control the world, essentially. And when you take somebody that's that wealthy, I mean, I'm in business. Dad's been in business way longer than I have. I know guys that are also very successful. When you get to that level of money, you don't just get there by, you know, oh, I flipped a coin and I made a good deal today. You may be worth, you know, some of these guys worth, you know, $10, $20, $30 million, which is, I mean, an insane amount of money. But when you start becoming worth hundreds of millions that lead into the billions of dollar range, you don't get there, in my opinion, just by yourself. There's too much money to be involved, and it's very difficult. Also, understand this, it's very difficult to get to that level of net worth without having a significant amount of debt. That's a fact. You can look at it from a business standpoint. When you start trying to push companies, multiple companies, into that much money, you're going to take out debt in order to basically accrue that net worth. So when you're a slave to the banker like that, they pretty much own you. So, I mean, they're not going to let him just off the leash to do whatever he wants, because there's a high probability, even if he wanted to do what he wanted to do and he started to do it, they just call his notes due. They say, okay, Mr. Trump, you didn't want to play ball. Well, guess what? We're calling your notes due on this company and this company and this company and this company and this oh, and your family's company and this company. Look what they've done intentionally just to make sure. And that's what I personally think, why they have done all this stuff on him for the last year and a half, 2 years, with just the smearing in the mainstream media, all the stuff with the investigation. To me, it was all fodder. It was, they didn't give a rat's butt about any of that. They wanted to do it, essentially, in my opinion, to show him, hey, by the way, we're going to kind of let this stuff go. Nothing's going to happen of it if you keep everything going. But if you go against us at all this stuff we've been doing, this is just peanuts of what we're going to do to you, your family, your company, your name, your generations below you, your kids' kids, everything you have ever done and every family member that ever occurs after you, we are going to ruin them and make sure they live in squalor the rest of your life. Or you can just be a good little president. Do what we tell you to do. You can make sure you're doing your little thing in front of the TV and doing what you need to do, say what you need to do, and, you know, keep doing that. We'll give you a little leeway on some things. We'll let you say what you need to say. But behind the scenes, we control and run everything. We own you. And that's just my personal opinion of what I think has occurred now in that entire administration, because you don't get to become the billionaire boys club by, you know, building a couple companies on your own and selling a couple companies, and all of a sudden, bam, you're a billionaire. It doesn't happen like that, guys. It's too difficult. I mean, I talked to an individual yesterday, a friend of mine that I've known for years, and he's in a huge predicament right now. He's screaming and yelling the other day about IRS. I said, what are you doing with IRS? And he's like, oh, well, I owe him like $40,000 now. I can't have any money in my operating account for my business. And I said, well, why don't you pay your taxes? And I said, don't get me wrong. I said, IRS is 100% unconstitutional. I don't agree with anything they do. However, I pay all of my taxes, sometimes even more, just because I know what happens when you don't, and because they are the pit bulls of the Federal Reserve. And he goes, well, you know, I didn't know we were making that much money. And I said, I know what you did. I said, I can already tell you what you did. I said, you were running your operating account like a piggy bank last year, and you didn't pay in any taxes and quarterly taxes, and it came back to bite you in the butt. Well, no, I said, no, that's exactly what you did. I said, you've been running through your cash, and now all of a sudden your operating account's almost dry, and you don't have any money for inventory, and IRS is knocking on your door saying you owe them $40,000. Well, it's something like that. I said, hey, I wish the best for you. Hope you figure it out. But again, it's that quick and that easy. So, I mean, when you get in that range where you're paying, 35, almost 40% income tax, you realize real quick how hard it is to make a substantial amount of money in this country at that level without doing huge amounts of business and taking on a lot of debt with companies that can make that much money. So that's just my personal take on it, Deb.
Austin, you're absolutely right about that, because I tell you what, cash flow is very important. I know there's another lady right now, and that we have several people that I know in the alternative media industry that haven't paid quarterly taxes, and they're in trouble now with IRS season accounts. And it's just, this is what happens. You've got to pay the quarterly taxes. I mean, in the problem that you end up with, if you're in business and you know this, let's say you always have to pay X amount of dollars per quarter based on last year's earnings. And let's say you have last year's earnings aren't as high as or higher than this year's earnings. Well, you have to pay that in just in the event that you end up with a final quarter that's even bigger or better or whatever, or else you're basically penalized. And the problem with that is that strips out their operating capital, which is what your friend said happened to him. They start pulling cash out. They don't take out the IRS. They may go out and buy some more equipment for the company, buy a new vehicle or whatever, and then they end up in a situation where they can't make the quarterly payments. My CPA has told me many, many times that it has happened to many of her clients in the past with businesses. They simply don't, they're not aware of the fact that everything you bring in is not money. I have one of my people that I know in alternative media, and they were getting donations, and they didn't realize that the donations come in as income. And, you can't just take that money and spend it. You've got to pay taxes on it. And now they're tens of thousands of dollars, close to $60,000 in debt, with no way to pay it back. And it just deals with cash flow impropriety and cash flow mismanagement. I did a series. You guys can get the series if you'd like. It's called Maximum Success: How to Live Disease-Free, Debt-Free, and Worry-Free. And what we do in that series is we go into detail about the primary causes of business success and the primary causes of business failure. And what we found out, one of the primary causes of failure is often, in fact, the primary cause of business failure every single time is the inability to organize detail, barring cash flow constraints. In other words, if you don't have any business. But if you have the inability to organize detail, you forget to go to appointments, you forget to make a payment, you forget to pay a bill. All of this stuff adds up over a period of time, causing massive, massive problems in businesses over a period of years. And it's the little things that you do on an ongoing basis that cause a lot of big problems. Very rarely does your business ever get swallowed up by a earthquake, okay? You make a mistake here, you make a mistake there, you make a mistake here. So that's why I have a fully licensed, certified CPA handle all of my stuff all the time. And basically she makes sure that everything's done right. In fact, I probably pay more taxes than I should pay. And why is that? Because it's just easier to do that. It's just easier to pay part of the taxes that maybe you don't owe and hope to get a refund on them. Why? Because it just keeps everything happy and copacetic. That's how I look at it. By the way, Illinois' Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker now signed a law in the bill that legalizes abortions up to birth, full-term abortions. Here we go again. New Zealand man has gone to prison now for 2 years for sharing the video of the Christchurch mosque shooting. You talk about a lack of rights. Unbelievable. Just show a video and you're going to prison. Another story. Man has been nabbed for the Bronx sexual assault, allegedly saying the woman deserved it for slavery. Now, I don't really know what to say about this, but Tamar Bishop, 23, a black man, is accused of raping and brutally beating a young white woman who reportedly sustained a broken nose, broken teeth, and she said she was also vomiting blood. Bishop was charged with 2 counts of predatory sexual assault, attempted murder, rape, 2 counts of assault, sexual abuse, assault, and a hate crime. The hate crime was added after an unnamed witness allegedly claimed that Bishop said she was a white girl and she deserved it because us minorities have been through slavery. Okay. The controllers used that Marxist strategy of the divide and conquer in order to pit Americans against each other. Had a workout partner for years and years and years. He's a black guy. At the house, we go to a gym at the house, and he basically told me one day that, that he believed in slave reparations. Now, this guy had been a former NFL football player, had 3 years in the NFL, played with the Cleveland Browns and also with Buffalo. And he told me that he felt so that I need to pay slave reparations. And I looked at him, I said, look, the slavery was primarily a Democratic Party kind of thing, along with the KKK and everything else. I said, you know, what's up? He said, well, you know, you guys are benefiting. I said, from the slavery that was here in this country for 400 years. I said, wait a minute. First of all, you got to look at the slave traders out of England. They were all, oh, by the way, the same people that killed Jesus. Just thought I'd mention that. And, you know, and so the same group has been the same group running the planet for years and years. And I said, secondly, I said, my family was in Europe. I said, you know, and I said, a lot of the doggone people from Europe who came to the United States had to sell themselves into slavery, into indentured servitude for 7 years to work off their passage on the ship to come over here. I said, my parents, my grandfathers, we never owned slaves. They were all from Germany. And he goes, it doesn't matter. You have the benefits of living in this country that the slaves built. And I said, whoa, you need to stop. I said, you need to stop. I said, this country was built on the Protestant work ethic and with a lot of slaves. I admit that. I said, but the reality is this. You, too, have the benefit of living in this country that the Protestant work ethic built and the people who sold themselves into indentured servitude built and the slaves built. And I said, we're all in this country together. And all this is a strategy of the Democratic Party now to divide and conquer and to obfuscate what's really going on with the drones, with the 5G, with the chemtrails, with the immunizations, with the mass influx across the border. All of this stuff is just being used to divide people. And quite frankly, I said, you have the benefit, just like I do, of living in this country. And nobody deserves to pay anybody slave reparations because, like Austin said earlier, it may have been your great-great-granddaddy might have had a slave, or your great-great-great-great-granddaddy may have been a slave or whatever, but we're not. This goes right back to the same mindset, Austin, of paying the grandchildren and the great-great-grandchildren of Holocaust camp people reparations. I mean, it's just unbelievable that the great-great-great-grandchildren go after the people who basically may have enslaved or imprisoned their great-great-grandfathers. Well, what about having to pay slave reparations to all the Japanese Americans who were interned in camps in the United States during World War II, or the German Americans that were interned in camps in World War II in the United States? What about paying all those people reparations for what happened to their grandparents? This whole thing's nonsense, and what it ends up being is a never-ending cycle of everybody blaming everybody for everything, eventually ending in the entire country being bankrupt. Austin, what do you think?
That's exactly what it's done, and that's pretty much, and that's why I mentioned earlier, the whole ideology of what they're trying to push is essentially more just the idea of socialism becoming more widely accepted. That's really what it is. When you start coming in now and you start saying, hey, you know, you're a 16-year-old black male, and, you know, your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was a slave back in the early 1800s, we're going to cut you a check now for $500 a month for slave reparations. And they're going to go, oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, who doesn't like free money, even though free money really doesn't exist? And they're going to go, oh, yeah, that's awesome. And all that's going to do is, in turn, further push the social welfare system, further indebt our country, and in turn, on top of that, what it's also going to do is it's going to make sure that all those individuals that start getting checks every month are going to continually vote Democrat. I call them Democrats, really. They're the communists. The Democrat communists, it's like a hyphen in the middle. That's what they're going to vote for. And we've seen that now. That's why they're pushing the fact. I saw up in New York City now, this is beyond appalling to me, and even a lot of individuals in New York are absolutely irate about this. Even some liberals are irate about this. They've now unilaterally passed a bill that will allow illegal aliens in New York, fully illegal aliens, not individuals with visas or anything like that, illegal aliens to go to the DMV and get a New York driver's license. Kid you not, completely and totally illegal, no legitimate papers whatsoever. You can go in, apply for it, take your photo, and get a New York driver's license. Now, that doesn't just obviously have an impact on New York. State driver's licenses are recognized nationally, which means now you're going to have individuals that are completely illegal driving around the country doing whatever they want, and if they get pulled over, in most cases, you're going to pull, if a cop pulls them over for a taillight or for speeding, they're going to pull their driver's license. It's going to be in the DMV database. It'll be clean. They'll hand it back to them. They'll write them a ticket, and they'll be on their merry way. And then it's not even going to have an issue anymore with coming into the country illegally. This is what they're continually trying to do to break down the fabric of the United States. Also, too, in other news, a health article I wanted to bring up here. As you guys know, pretty much the FDA pays no attention to harmful toxins or the safety of the American population. It has now come evident that a drug sold by Nordiris has been found to be contaminated with a cancer-causing chemical known as dimethylformamide. A pharmacy warned the FDA that it found a chemical believed to cause cancer in a widely used blood pressure medication, according to the filing from the federal agency. The drugs are part of a popular class of prescription medications that the FDA has quietly been recalling after finding them laced with cancer-causing chemicals. Those drugs reportedly include Valsartan, Losartan, and Ibrutan. They're basically all for blood pressure. The chemical contamination was discovered by Valisher, an online pharmacy that operates across America. Valisher is apparently running contaminant tests on multiple medications it sells and found that Valsartan, the blood pressure medication manufactured by Novartis, contains DMF. Now, what's ironic about this is the FDA hasn't gone out and done a press release. They haven't come out and said, if you're taking any of these medications, stop immediately. Don't put another tablet in your mouth. It's got an incredibly toxic chemical that's been directly linked to cancer. You need to throw it in the trash or bring it back to your pharmacy immediately. They haven't done that. They've been quietly recalling the contaminated drug from pharmacies, still allowing the individuals that are in possession of the drug to keep taking the contaminated drug until they go back in for a refill. Now, what's ironic about this, and this is the irony that really just got me about this, is the fact that we have a company that's completely independent from the FDA that has taken it upon themselves to start assaying and testing pharmaceutical drugs for contaminants, because obviously this is an issue. They wouldn't have done this if they didn't think it was an issue. They wouldn't have gone out of their way to spend money assaying pharmaceutical drugs to see what was in them if this wasn't an issue before. And of course, they found this drug was contaminated with this cancer-causing compound known as DMF and notified the FDA, and the FDA has begun quietly recalling it. But I just thought it was interesting, Dad, that here we have an agency that really pays no mind to the population of the health. In my opinion, they're complicit in making sure the medical industrial complex stays fed with as many sick people as it possibly can, allowing this product to go on the market, and again, not having any legitimate oversight or third-party testing on the drug to make sure it's not contaminated before it reaches the pharmacy shelves. We have an outside agency that's going in and trying to test it to see what's going on right now. I just thought that's ironic and another clear-cut example of why the FDA does not care about you. The entire medical industrial complex, all the way from the USDA, the FDA, they know what is being done to the American population. That's why they haven't pulled aspartame, they haven't pulled sucralose, they haven't pulled MSG, they haven't pulled sodium nitrite, they haven't pulled any of these other toxins that have been linked to all kinds of health issues, including cancer, for decades. They leave them in the products, they know what they do, and it keeps the merry-go-round, the cyclical cycle of the drugs, the cancer, the treatment, the doctor, the hospital, going round and round and round and round into the multi-billion dollar industry that we now have as a medical industrial complex. That is why I continue to tell everybody it is the best option to stay off of pharmaceutical drugs if you can. Obviously, there are certain drugs for certain reasons and certain accidents that can happen. You may need a drug for something like morphine. You shatter an ankle, morphine helps out pretty doggone good when you're in the hospital and making sure you're not dying in excruciating pain. But again, in most cases, a lot of these drugs, including blood pressure is one of the easiest things to fix. A, you need to make sure you're body weight is under control. B, make sure you're drinking enough water. C, make sure you're not drinking any stimulants. D, make sure you're not eating a ton of really, really high-fat foods with saturated fats. And also, get in the gym and exercise. The round, small trampolines, little personal trampolines, getting on and doing a couple sets of that for 30 to 60 seconds at a time and working your way up works incredibly good. But the biggest thing that I see almost all the time is the stimulant usage and the water intake. Majority of the time when I talk to people with high blood pressure, they're not drinking hardly any water, and they're usually drinking coffee or sodas on a regular basis, which both of those are diuretics, so they pull more water out of your system on top of the water that you're already not getting in from not having proper hydration on a regular basis. So, few easy tips to get blood pressure under control and stay off the medications if you can by any means.
Austin, the other thing, too, if people need to realize is that magnesium is so important for muscle cramps. Remember, calcium contracts the heart muscle. Magnesium relaxes the heart muscle. Calcium contracts all your muscles and relaxes all your muscles. I mean, magnesium relaxes all your muscles. So if calcium contracts, magnesium relaxes. And one of the biggest problems that people have is they get way, way too much calcium in their diet. They start having atherosclerotic plaquing. They start having severe muscle cramps. Because remember, their magnesium and calcium maintain like an antagonistic balance. And what ends up happening is the calcium starts to make the heart pump too hard. Blood pressure goes up too much. So what do? They give you calcium channel blockers. So your heart doesn't pump as hard. Okay? Instead of giving you magnesium to counteract it the other direction, they give you the channel blockers. It's all about the petrochemical drug complex that Rockefeller put together. It's all about basically enslaving as many people as they possibly can and creating a victim status with them. And also be very, very careful. A lot of states now, if you start getting on medical marijuana, as far as for anxiety or panic disorders or whatever, you have a real high probability of losing your concealed weapons rights and privilege of carrying a weapon. Just thought I better mention that to you. All of these backdoor roads they're doing now to take people's guns away from them. Very important that you understand what and who's doing this to you. It's always the same group, the same people. By the way, just to add that to that, with the medical establishment, Vermont now is to pay for children's sex change under the new rule. Okay, this is just unbelievable. Vermont will begin covering gender reassignment surgery for children who are on Medicaid under the new rule proposed by the State Department of Health Access last month. The proposal will change the current rule that bans those under 21 from receiving taxpayer funds for free sex changes. For minors under 18, documented informed consent of the parents, legal custodian, or guardian is also required unless the minor is emancipated by court order. 16 types of genitalia surgery will be covered alongside breast augmentation and mastectomies for young children. I don't know what to say with this, except that this is just the evil that's accompanying us right now. Let me say something to you. Very few people reach the age of concrete rational thought. In fact, most people don't even reach it anymore because of fluoride. But usually you're 23, 24, 25 years old when you reach that. You need to understand that when these children are 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old and they're confused about their sexual identity, a lot of that comes naturally with puberty because of hormones. And these kids need to be given the right to at least become full-grown adults. I would say if they want to do this, which is butchery of their bodies, make them be at least 25 years of age before any insurance would cover any of it.
Yeah.
And I would never allow the military to do it, because this is a sad, sad situation that we have here in the United States because of this. And I feel so sorry for these children. I remember years ago, I was watching this TV show, I think it was on 2020, many years ago, where this doctor was doing a circumcision on this young baby. And messed up and basically amputated his organ. And so he told the parents, he said, don't worry about it. I can just do a gender reassignment here and we can go ahead and make this little boy a little girl. And they did. They did. The little boy was castrated, given female genitalia, you know, as a baby. And then finally, he didn't understand what was going on because he wanted to play with trucks when he was like 6, 7 years old. He didn't want to be in dresses. Finally, we got older. His parents told him what had happened. And the young man is completely and totally devastated. His entire life is destroyed because some butcher masquerading as a medical professional did this to him. Guys, please be careful with your children. Please be careful with the hormones that you get into your body when you're pregnant. And please take care of them. Please make sure they're hanging out with the right kids. And please provide a proper role model for proper feminism and for proper alpha male attitudes. And I'm not talking about arrogant alpha male attitudes. I'm talking about compassionate men who love God, who love Jesus, who take care of their families, and who will defend their families in time of need. That's the role model they need.
Absolutely, Dad. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the continued support. Be sure, as I told you guys yesterday, I'm doing a big blast on the product of the week, the D3, because it's such a crucial element and nutrient for the body, such a crucial vitamin. It's something you need to test for on a yearly basis at minimum. And if you get pregnant, you need to be testing for it pretty much every month, every other month. We did that with Lana. The Ultimate D3 10,000, about once or twice a year, I do a big sale on it. And it won product of the week this week, so I decided to run that sale for a week right now. Over 20% off, huge sale on the D3 10,000 K2 on the product of the week. That will be going on till next Tuesday, essentially Tuesday night. So be sure to check that out. I very rarely ever do any discounts on this level. Also, too, as I mentioned earlier, the Vive Wrinkle Relief Serum. Great product, really good for wrinkles, puffiness. I think Sharon's going to talk about it on the Hagman Show tomorrow. I put a big sale on that right now because a lot of people, as far as in the sun, at the beach, everything right now, really, really good to help your skin recover and get rid of those fine line wrinkles. great product on the front page of the website, healthmasters.com. If you need anything, give us a call or email us. Appreciate the support. Keep up the fight, everybody. I really thank you for all the emails I'm getting, the positive feedback we're getting, and everybody continuing the best they can to